Jesus is very, very helpful for staying in the closet.
It's true. What's that movie with...
Thank you, Jesus.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it is a boner episode. We have geeky boners about marathons, the 3DS, and even a boner about the National Park System. What?
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am one of your hosts, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Molly Glover.
Hello.
And we are here to share our geeky boners. It's been a couple of months.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said hello like that. That was really weird. I thought it was going to be all cool, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. Not cool.
The Geeky Boner episodes are not about being cool.
No, none of my episodes are about being cool.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of episodes, if you know what I mean.
You give too many fucks to be truly cool. It's true. In order to truly be cool, you have to not really care about being cool.
That's
the coolest thing you can do is just not care.
It's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. Never going to happen. So, again, geeky boner episode. We haven't talked about just the shit that's got us all hard. So, we're going to start with Molly.
Yeah.
Molly, what is your geeky boner for this month?
My geeky boner... Okay, so this last Sunday, I ran a half marathon.
Half marathon.
And it was... So, a half marathon is 13.1 miles. And I ran the whole way, yes, and it was awesome. My time was 1:55:05, so that's 8:48 per mile average, which is funny because my first miles were way faster than that, and my last miles were not as fast. So yeah.
It's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. I had a good time. Nick made me a sign while he while he was spectating for me, and it was a Doctor Who themed sign, and it said, "Run, you clever girl." So that's great.
Is there a picture?
It's my Facebook profile.
Of course it is. That's right.
Run, you clever girl.
Go ahead, Al.
So that was fun. So my favorite thing along the way is when you see, because you're running, I usually have headphones if they allow headphones in the course, and this one they did. So I didn't have anyone else but Nick there to watch because it started at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday. So I wasn't anticipating.
Fucking insane.
It is. Yeah. I wasn't going to make anybody come to that. So the signs I saw that I liked the best, there were like a group of like three or four people that had three signs. One said, "This parade is too fast and there aren't enough floats." The next sign said, "Seriously, worst parade ever." And the last sign said, "No one's even waving." And so a couple people were like waving us, and then they would cheer. I saw another sign that said, there was another sign that said, "Smile if you've peed yourself," which I never have to pee myself during marathons. I pee beforehand and then after. My body is apparently efficient enough that it's using all my waste. I don't need to, but it's a thing. There's a lot of the whatever signs of people go this and I love you mom or whatever. But so there's this phenomenon, there's this charm that makes me crazy. And I didn't see any of these signs along the way, but we did see them at the expo beforehand. And so this term in running, it's chicked. Like you just got chicked, which is the act of being passed by a female runner. Now, what really bothers me about this is it's incredibly fucking sexist against men. Because to imply that a man should feel bad because a woman passes him just because she's a woman is super sexist.
It's implying that women are... It's like saying you throw like a girl.
Yeah,
It's just like saying you throw like a girl.
And it's always on pink shit, and it's always it's on the women rock marathon series, which is just another way to make money off people.
Yeah,
covered in crystals and shit.
Exactly, like pink crystals and written in a script font. You just got chicked.
Yeah,
and it's just so rude. It's like, dude, I never feel when I'm faster than a lot of guys. I'm faster than most of the, I was faster than tons of guys in this race, but in no way was I like, ha ha, you just got passed by a girl. You must feel like less of a man. It's just, it makes me crazy. It makes me so angry because it just, I feel like it's setting women's rights back.
Well, if I ever ran, and this is never going to happen, but if I ever ran a half marathon or a full marathon or fucking 5K for that matter, I wouldn't give a fuck if I got passed by anybody.
Exactly.
It would just be, if I got from the beginning to the end, I would be pleased.
That's what running is supposed to be. It's you records. And the road. Yeah. And if you're racing against people, that's fine, but like, it shouldn't be about gender then. And if it's about gender, it should be about your own gender because you're only in your own gender's, like, you're categorized.
Yeah.
I only compete with other women age 35 to 39.
Right.
I'm not actually, and then other women. I'm not competing with men at all. So to be like, you know, I passed you, eat on that, and I have a vagina, what's your excuse? Like, that's just so awful.
Yeah. And if you're so like a 35-year-old woman passing a 60-year-old guy, what have you proven? You know, that you can run faster than a 60-year-old dude. Congratulations.
Even if I'm passing...
Lots of people can run faster than 60-year-old dudes.
Even if I'm passing a 25-year-old guy, and even if we've done the same amount of racing, and he's just slower... That's okay. Like, that's fine. I don't know, man. If there was a movement where men had shirts that said, suck on my dick because I'm faster than you, or something like that, or like, why don't you go back to the kitchen, or something like equally, you know, like, like making fun of your femininity and that's why you're slow.
Yeah.
Like, it would not go over well. So I don't understand why the reverse is okay.
Yeah.
It's still sexism. Just... I don't know. So I geeky rage boner, apparently.
But Nick, you told a story about standing on the sidelines, which is geeky. So
So I had that sign. I just took a full sheet of foam core, you know, like 20x30, and a big fat Sharpie paint pen, and I had it on a stick for a while, and the wind took it off. But so I'm standing there with this sign, and there's like maybe four people spectating in the same spot I am around the 6 mile mark. And this one kid is, you know, maybe like 15 at the oldest, I say 13 maybe. He goes, oh, hey, Doctor Who. You watch Doctor Who? And thus began like an hour and a half conversation with this like young nerdling about Doctor Who, and he went to Anime Detour for the first time this year.
Oh yeah,
but he'd never heard of Convergence.
No,
and so the day before the marathon was the day Matt Smith announced that he was quitting Doctor Who. He was just going to do the 50th anniversary special.
Sad clown tear.
And then he's going to do the
Doctors Die.
Special on the Christmas episode. And then he's done.
Yep.
So this kid hadn't heard that yet, and I got to see his kind of like moment of nerd rage and like all the emotions that he was going through, like the stages of grief.
If you pause it right there, you can see the exact moment his heart breaks.
Right, exactly. And it was totally like denial and then like, you know, whatever, and anger and acceptance. And finally, you know, he had acceptance when he was like, have they announced who's going to replace him yet? Because, I mean, that's how it goes. Like, that's totally, like, the final stage of grief.
Yeah.
And
who's
so...
Who's the next doctor is the final stage of grief.
Yeah, right. And he's like, it's not going to be that old guy from the end of the season, is it? And so, like, we kind of talked about, you know, why it's not that old guy. And all that stuff. And it's cool because he started during Tenet. He went back and watched Eggleston. And now he's gone back and he's watching all of the classic Doctor Who that's on Netflix.
Good for him.
And whatever's been put on YouTube, too. So he's like...
In between masturbation sessions.
right, totally. 13. In between, like, calling people fag on 4chan or whatever it is. Whatever it is 13-year-old boys do on the internet. He was a cool kid. Yeah. And so I was telling him about how Convergence is awesome and all that. And then at some point in the conversation, I was like, oh, yeah, my wife, who I'm here to cheer on, she and I, when we were out at the Renaissance Festival, blah, 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 and he's like, you work at the Renaissance Festival, too? Oh, man, that's so cool.
He's so wrong. It's not glamorous.
It's not glamorous.
It's awesome. What are you talking about?
It's awesome.
I can't wait.
It's awesome. It is not glamorous in any way. And any job that requires that you shit in a privy is not glamorous.
I love working at the Renaissance Festival.
You didn't say glamorous. You said cool.
Oh, well, yeah, okay.
I love working at the Renaissance Festival. I love Festival, it. But it is not cool.
Right. And so, it was good. Young nerds like that, like, give me hope for a good nerdy future.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then runners took pictures of my sign.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Like people in the middle of running a marathon, because I had this long, straight head stretch as they're running towards me at the end of this block right before they turn. And so they could see it a ways away, and I'd see people pulling their phone out of their armband or out of their waist belt and click and taking a picture of the sign and being like, yeah. And
so you know that they get it. They're not just taking a picture because it's like, oh, there's another sign. It's I get that sign. I know what that means.
Young Nerd Squire said, after maybe a few hours of watching cheering the people on, he's like, so, how are you going to feel if you become an internet meme? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, oh, no. Like fat, nerdy guy at a marathon. Great. That's going to be awesome.
Everybody's going to, like, touch up your sign so it says different shit.
Yeah, right.
In any event, I had a good time. And one of the things that I like about, too, is the whole point was that I've never done a half marathon this early. Uh-huh. Because my running season, I don't run in the winter. So right. I stop usually when it starts to snow or get really cold. And then I don't usually run again until... Generally, it's like end of February, early March. This year, I didn't get to start running until pretty much May.
Because of all the snow. Never ended.
So already I had set myself up by registering for this half marathon. Usually my half marathon is in August, but I had to stop doing that because of festival. So usually I'm running a half marathon in August. So I did it in June instead, so 2 full months earlier.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I lost 2 full months of training.
Right.
So I only got to train for 1 month, and I still pulled it off like crazy. And so as a result,
you got a good time.
Yeah, I got a good time. So my boner is popping, and that is me.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, what's yours?
Molly and I, there's a game that we play for Nintendo systems. Called Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing!
Also known
as... I know
of
Animal Crossing.
It's like adorable animal time waster circle jerk. Like, it's
so much more than that,
it's,
Nick.
But I mean, really, like...
No, I got into it for like 6 months. It's awesome. Can't stop.
It's amazing.
It's like a super false accomplishment time suck.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really achieve anything, but it's like...
Disagree.
But now I've unlocked this hybridization of flowers, and like, there's... So anyways, it's amazing, and it's very social, and it's kids like it, adults like it. You can design this whole town and whatever the fuck.
And every time it comes out again, they up their game.
Like, they do.
Like,
they
literally.
They seriously do. The Wii was great. You had voice chat, you could go to each other's towns.
The difference from the GameCube to the DS was amazing. The difference from the DS to the Wii was amazing.
And so now the new version that comes out on January 9th.
June.
Or not June 9th, I mean the other J month.
Yeah.
Is Animal Crossing New Leaf, and it's coming out for the 3DS. So Molly and I went and bought 3DSs.
Yeah.
The two of us. We each got one. And we pre-ordered the game with some trade-in.
And I know that Nick's is blue and Molly's is pink.
It's true.
I got blue and black, and she's pink and white.
The reason I got the pink and white one is because I love pale pink. I don't like hot pink. I like pale pink, and
like
it's very rare.
Pink.
Yeah, it's very rare that something is like a pale petal pink, and this is. Also, it's got I like the pearl finish, which is like
it's a lovely pearl finish.
Yes, and I like that it's pink and white and not pink and black.
They never make anything in green.
I love green too.
Every once in a while, they do like a Link edition of something.
Yeah. Other than that, anyway,
So we bought a few games each to start, like some whatever they had used cheap at GameStop. And so I picked up Adventure Time, Hey Ice King, Why'd You Steal Our Garbage? and Paper Mario Sticker Star, which I believe your son plays.
Alex plays Paper Mario Sticker Star. When we get to my geeky boner,
and
I talk about my geeky boner the entire time that I was doing my geeky boner, Alex was playing Mario Sticker Star.
It's a fun game, man. Paper Mario games are great. It's more of a role-playing... kind of experience than like side scroller, but Adventure Time is weird. It kind of reminds me of like a Zelda game, like that second Zelda game that came out that was a side scroller.
Okay,
The Adventures of Link.
So there's a world map and you wander around and there's wandering monsters and you go to all the different places in this land of Ooh, this fantasy post-apocalyptic world from the cartoon, and they have little tiny bits of voice acting, not really much at all. But the story is the Ice King has stolen all your garbage and is assembling garbage princesses for you to rescue and leaving you, like, really fucking lame riddles to, like, find him. And it's kind of like the whole storyline is, like, a desperate cry for help.
Oh, my God.
And like, because, like, he keeps leaving, like, lamer and lamer garbage princesses for you to rescue as he is, like, running out of trash to build man. With. Uh-huh. And so eventually it's, like, moldy hot dog buns and a lampshade hat. Like, that's the princess you're here to rescue. And the protagonists, Jake and Finn, are, like, their little back and forth. It's like, man, he's not really evil. He's just kind of sad and misguided.
Which is true, he is.
And he is. He's an incredibly tragic figure in the cartoon, way more seriously so, I would mm-hmm. say. I'm at Ice King. I'm at the last boss, and I got beat, like, two or three times in a very frustrating way. His difficulty is not on par with the difficulty for the rest of the game, we could say. And so I set it down and I walked away from it, and I've been playing Paper Mario since. And I'll go back to it, but Paper Mario is super fun. They both have a lot of inventory management. Like, Finn's backpack, you have, like, a limited number of spaces to hold items that give you shit or regain your health or mm-hmm. Vorpal sword powers and all this weird fantasy stuff. And in Paper Mario, it's stickers that you have in a sticker collection book. Oh, yeah. Like those old sticker books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had those.
And you can't attack anyone without peeling a sticker out and spending it.
Interesting. That's,
so you have to, like, collect stickers as you go through the game.
But also spend them.
And because you have a limited amount of space, you can, like, stock up your book and go off to, like, go to some dungeon. And then, like, as you walk into a dungeon, you see, like, an awesome foil sticker on the wall that you can peel off. And it's like, well, fuck, I've got to ditch something so I can pick that up. And you have to, like, throw them on the ground and just get rid of them.
Sure, sure.
You can't get them back. So there's a weird strategy to Sticker Star.
Cool.
You got Cooking yeah. Mama, Harvest Moon, and Professor Layton.
Professor Layton, yep.
I like the Professor Layton games.
I did too.
A lot.
I played all the other ones, and I really like them. At
Penny Arcade called Professor Layton, "Hey kid, do my math homework."
Yeah. It is kind of like that. I wonder if there's kids, I'm sure there's kids somewhere that are, like, excelling at, like, full completion of Professor Layton games and not turning in their homework, and their parents are, like, going crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like, why don't you do your math homework? Like, I just want to play video games. Like, oh my God, your video games are homework. Yeah. Come on. Like, it's the same thing.
Yeah. I think the Professor Layton games are really good for just mental gymnastics.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a diverse group of puzzles and, yep. and an overarching mystery to solve.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Harvest Moon is a Tale of Two Towns, which is cool. I just started playing
it. It's a farm simulator.
It's not a farm simulator. It's a whole bunch of things. But you have to choose. In this version of it, if you've played Harvest Moon, you know what it is. But in this version, you have to pick. Right away, you crash into town, and you have to pick which town you're going to live in. And there's Bluebell, which is the European-style town that has, like, German kind of Dutch-looking buildings and flowers and livestock is what you focus on, versus the Konohana, I think is what it is, which is the Japanese town, which has, like, thatch roofs and clay tiles and paper lanterns and all crops. So you get to pick which one you want to do, and I guess you can move at any time.
Oh.
So, and go back. So it's kind of, and there's two save slots, so you could just have two games, one where you start in one town, one where you start in the other, and go back and forth. But they added a replay value that way, which is nice.
Yeah. So it's not a farm simulator. It's two farm simulators.
No, there's more than that too, because you also have to, like, there's potential romance matches.
No, that's right. You can get married
and
have a kid.
And you cook and you sell things at market and it's super fun.
It's a farmer simulator.
It's a farmer simulator, I guess. A simulator makes it sound like you're just, like, I don't know, like,
well, no,
it
it's
sounds
like
it sounds like top
no,
down
no,
Sim City.
No,
it's
no,
not
no,
like
my
RPG.
God,
like,
totally trolling your own wife.
Like dating Sims, the way they use simulation to.
Sure, but it's more like an RPG than it is a simulator.
A dating sim is very much like an RPG. It's conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is marriage was simulated.
I wish you guys could see the look I'm giving him right now because it's withering.
I think it's coming through.
Yeah.
All right. I think they can detect
mm-hmm.
it.
And you haven't played Professor Layton yet. This one.
I haven't yet.
You haven't. Okay.
That's all.
But Sunday, Animal Crossing.
Sunday, Animal Crossing.
I'm going to name my town Molly Sucks Big Time.
That's so mean.
I'm gonna name.
That's a stupid name for a town too. I would be disappointed.
It is. They don't let you have that many characters. No. I'm sure.
Plus, you'd be more creative than that. I didn't marry an idiot.
I'll name it the city, probably.
I'll name it the city.
Because that's way more clever.
That's that's been my standby for.
Mine's always Tularu.
Mine's always been the city. It's always been the city.
Rula.
Like the Tick.
Whenever I play Civilization, my city names are always the same. I always name them after everybody in my family. So I start with Timville. And then there's Patville, and then Alexville, and then Devonville, and then I just start naming them after my cats.
You should throw a few tons in there, like Alexton.
Yeah, I should.
Devonshire.
It's like, I got more important things to do.
Devonshire's good.
More important things to do than name my fucking cities.
That's true.
Anyway, so my geeky boner.
Boing.
Wow. God damn it. We just got back from a trip to the Black Hills.
Yeah.
My family and I. And my geeky boner, this is a geeky boner, like always. If Joseph Scrimshaver invited me to be on his obsession podcast, I would talk about this.
All right.
It's the National Park System.
Ooh.
And so we were able to go to 7 different national park or national monuments while we were in South Dakota, which was fucking awesome. I mean, we went to some places I've been to before. I've been to the Badlands. I love the Badlands.
Yeah.
But the kids had never seen the Badlands.
It's a standby vacation for Minnesota kids.
I've never been there. My father was going to take us, and then he turned around halfway because he's a douchebag.
He did that to the Grand Canyon, too. Holy fuck. You didn't go
a lot. That was all the same trip.
Oh,
that was
all right, the same trip. So when we went to Devil's Tower, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, if you've seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you've seen Devil's Tower,
right.
and then you go there, and it's exactly what you think it's going to be. And
there's
something infinitely cooler about actually seeing it.
It means something.
Yeah. And it is one of these things where it's like completely not like anything around it.
Yeah.
You're driving along, you're driving through the wilds of Wyoming looking at cows because there's cows all over the fucking place in Wyoming.
Nice.
And you come around a corner and you look and you're like, holy shit, that thing right there is Devil's Tower, and I know because it's nothing like anything that I have seen
like,
up to this
so
point.
So obviously created. Right? Is that how you
clearly God
designed.
Just designed that thing right at that spot.
God or, you know, aliens. I mean,
aliens.
One.
And then there are a couple of caves. The thing that was the coolest that really surprised me was Minuteman National Historical Monument.
Oh. Hmm.
Which was just this thing that we were going to do on the drive out
is
across
like
South Dakota.
Like a fort or something like
no,
that?
No,
or?
Minuteman was the missile defense system.
Oh.
When we were in, you know, the middle of the Cold War.
Yeah.
It was this huge complex of nuclear missiles that were aimed at Russia.
Oh, I get it. Minuteman, because they were the... Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So you go there, and you go to this visitor center, and the thing, it's only been a monument since 2000, and the wheels of progress grind super fucking slow in the national park system, because that's the last thing any Congress gives any extra money to.
Sure.
So their visitor center... Yeah, exactly. So their visitor...
Aborting our national park.
National park abortions.
That's a new... As soon as we make them illegal, then they're going like, to take an old Planned Parenthood and turn it into a historical monument.
Crouch over this geyser.
Bears are going to be given abortions.
Just like, squat right over this old faithful.
Like, that sounds like an episode of Yogi Bear. Like, they ban abortions and Yogi starts doing them in his cave, like back alley.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
So it's in their visitor center is basically in a couple of trailer homes.
Okay.
So you go in there and you're like, all right, well, this is interesting. What else is here? And they say, well, we've got a tour of the launch facility, and it's the tours in the national parks. They're amazing. I mean, seriously, national parks are a good deal because tour of like Wind Cave, an hour and a half walking tour with a ranger guide who knows shit about caves is $9 for adults.
Awesome.
And $4.50 for kids. And that's fucking cheap as hell.
Yeah.
Right.
For going down into this cave. And so it's like $3 for this tour.
That's not much.
We're like, sure, we'll go. So we head over and they're like, well, the launch facility is about 5 miles away. You go over, and what they did is they basically took a launch facility, they preserved that, they have one silo and they preserved that. And that's it. That's the entire park.
Mm-hmm.
The launch facility is this building that looks just like a building sitting in the middle of the farm field And what they said is they left everything preserved as it was so you could see what it looked like to the people that were working there.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it. None of this was secret. Nobody was keeping it a secret.
Well,
it was just, it was sitting out in the middle of a farm field. It was this building. There were security guards there. You may not have known exactly what was going on.
There was no,
and if you
there
went
was,
too close, you'd get shot.
That was there was not a lot of domestic terrorism or any kind of really terrorism happening then at that point, really. Not in the way that you have to worry about guarding things like
not
I mean,
really.
Not
yeah.
the way you do now.
So we get there, and our guide meets us there. They do tours every 15 minutes, so they just have a guide waiting out in front. They're like, are you my tour? Yes, we're your tour. And the dude was, he wasn't a ranger. He was a volunteer who used to be a missile tech.
Oh, shit. Awesome.
In that installation.
That's great.
So not only is he able to give us just a basic tour, he's talking about shit that he actually did.
Yeah.
In this building.
Yeah.
And he takes you through the building and he talks about everything that's going on there. And then he takes you into the elevator. He takes you down to the capsule. And the capsule is where the two people that have to launch the missile, if they get the orders, spend their day. And it's like two teams of two, 12 hours each. Yeah. There's always somebody in the missile capsule.
They're just the dudes that turn the key?
Yeah. They're the dudes that turn the key.
Like Desmond and Lost.
Yeah.
Just down there in the hatch, just waiting for the button. Like, yeah.
They're sitting in there.
Amazing.
And they're locked in. There's this big fucking concrete steel door.
But what do they have,
door.
Cards? I mean, they don't have anything.
They don't, because, I mean, this is all 1960s, yeah. Like 1970s technology.
Yeah.
But they've got like a printer, a ticker tape thing, you know, a teletype.
Yeah.
A teletype. And if they get their orders, they translate them, they turn the keys.
My God.
And, you know, of course, my kids are so fucking smart. And they, every tour we went on, it's like, everybody else was standing there looking and going, oh, this is interesting. My kids would just raise their hands and ask all sorts of questions.
Good.
All I'm thinking about is, you know, how does somebody war games this shit? How does somebody take over this castle? And it's like the guy's describing all the shit that they had. And you're like, there is no fucking way anybody could have ever gotten into one of those capsules and launched a missile. And if they had, it wouldn't have done them any good because they're all aimed at missile installations in Russia. It's like, what are you going to do with the missile?
Yeah.
So you go through the tour, and the guy was awesome there. And then you go over to the missile silo. And the missile silo usually sometimes has a ranger there. There wasn't one there. So really all you see is this silo that they've installed plexiglass over the top so you can look in and see where the missile was. And that was kind of cool. But then what happened later is Devin really wanted to go to the Air and Space Museum that was in Rapid City, which is on Ellsworth Air Force Base. Ellsworth Air Force Base is where they trained all the missile technicians.
Oh.
So the only other missile silo that's surviving, because when they closed down this entire installation, they imploded all of them. The only other missile silo that survives is on Ellsworth Air Force Base.
Cool.
And there, they installed something so you can actually go down into it and look at the silo from the inside.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
And so the coolest thing you tell
me. So you get to see what the missile could see.
You get to see, yeah. You could see what the missile's life was like. Yeah,
like your missile.
The coolest thing to me, I don't know why I thought this shit was cool, but there's a 90-ton cap on the top of these silos.
Huh.
Steel and concrete, 90 tons. If you need to open it to do any maintenance, it runs on a railroad track, and it's got a little cog thing, and it takes like 60 minutes for the thing to move.
Wow.
Okay, but the thing about the Minuteman missiles is the whole idea is if you're going to launch these fuckers, you got to launch them as fast as possible.
Right.
It's 3 minutes from orders to launch.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't have that cap come off in an hour. So it's got this pneumatic system that activates if you're actually going to launch the missile. And the pneumatic system takes this 90-ton cap and launches that fucker over 100 yards
away. Oh, my
God.
Just blows it up.
Just blows that sucker 100
yards
away.
Pneumatic shit is so cool. It's so
cool. Does it use concussive force, or is it just the force of air knocks it out?
It's the force of air. It's not concussive. It's a counterweight system.
Just balance, pressure and...
Pressure and
yeah.
Boom, that sucker. And I was like, where is a picture of this happening?
That's awesome.
Yeah. They had to have tried it at least
they
once,
did,
right?
They did. They tried it once. They originally had three test launches.
Yeah, make sure it
works,
yeah.
Because you got to make sure the thing works. There's a test launch where it was a missile without a warhead, you know, set to detonate 10 seconds after launch. So it goes up in the air, boom, everything works.
Yeah.
Now we got to test it again. They only did one, though, because everything worked flawlessly. And the fact is, you know, when you get it described to you that this 90-ton cap is going to get launched 100, yards,
and
you got to completely...
Fuel is expensive, and the missiles are expensive.
You have to completely rebuild the silo after the test launch. So if it works once, why bother doing it again?
Right. You should assume it's going to work and
just
go
hope that
forward.
Everyone built them with the same care because they're nuclear fucking weapons.
Hope that when Ivan makes his threat, so we can blow the top off this baby and bomb him back to Ruskyville.
Wow.
And there's something about it.
Sorry, Pavel.
There's something about it that's really creepy, just looking at these things and going, you know, we were totally ready to blow up the fucking world. And, you know, these people that were there was not a single person in there. War Games is bullshit when it's like, you know, people wouldn't launch the missiles. Oh, yeah. That was their job.
War Games was in the 80s. This was the 60s. There was a whole none of these, different...
The Minuteman ship was built in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
The 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Okay.
So, you know, but like the dude who worked there, he worked there in the 80s. He's like, nobody ever would have given a second thought. If they get the orders, they launch their missiles.
Well, sure. Was he military then?
Yeah, he was military, and he was a technician. He was a repair technician.
Still, though, if you're military, you still went through basic. I mean, they still undid your brain.
He's a part of the command structure.
Yeah, they put your brain back together the way that makes you do the things they say. So that makes, of course, they would do it.
So that was really cool. And I mean, we spent a lot of time on Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore has a really good audio tour that you can do, and the caves were super, super cool.
But the Badlands. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, we hit the Badlands.
Helicopter tour?
No, we did not do a helicopter tour. We did go hiking, though.
Okay.
We took the kids on a couple of short hikes there.
Little
we
bouldering. Hiked
all, yeah, bouldering. Cool. We let them go bouldering all around Devil's Tower. That was fucking awesome.
That's neat.
And they loved it. So, I don't know. I love the national parks. Anytime I go on a vacation, I'm like, what national park and national historic monuments are there in this area? And it was just a great trip for that. So, I know that we have reached the end of our boners. I could talk about this
Boing.
All day. But it is time for five questions.
Five questions.
Who do we have five questions from today, Molly?
Today we have five questions from California. Hello, I'm Stacy from California, and I'm a new listener. So
as of 3 months ago.
As of, yes. This was back in the end of January, guys. So we're making... And if for some reason you think that you sent yours in and we missed them, by all means, send them in again and tell us that you think we missed it when you sent it in before or whatever. Actually, we've had a couple of people say, I thought I sent mine before the ones you did or whatever. Just send them again.
Just send them again.
We'll get to them. All right, so you guys want to ask, and I will be Stacy.
Yeah, so our first question is, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
John dies at the end. It's an off-kilter kind of humor, a bit surreal, a dash of stoner-slash-drunk humor, and all-around interesting movie. I don't want to say too much on it. Just go see it. I, Molly, would like to have say, I think we talked about this.
I think we mentioned it.
The book is amazing. The book is probably one of the best books I read this year.
I have a very strong recommendation to see the movie and then read the book. If you're gonna experience both, that's the order I'd go with. Because if you read the book and see the movie, you'll probably be disappointed. If you see the movie and read the book, you'll be thrilled and pleasantly surprised.
Maybe. I don't think it was that good of a movie, personally. I don't think it... And a large part of that was because they changed so much stuff out of the book that did not need to be changed. Like the name of the dog, for one, which is weird. But
you're just saying that because the dog's name is Molly.
I am kind of saying it because the dog's name is Molly. But the dog's name was Molly, and then they changed it to Marley. What the fuck is the point of that? Like, what is the purpose of that?
That is, they do make...
That's those, stupid.
Some of those decisions are really...
But bad. I don't know. I don't think it was a great movie. I think that it could have been so much better if I don't even know.
It's bad great. I mean,
I don't know. I really think you should read the book before you experience any part of John Dies at the End. I just think the book is the thing to go with because it's so great. But
the sequel is great too.
But yes, but Stacy liked the movie, so good.
Good on you, Stacy.
Yes, Molly read the sequel despite it being titled "This Book Is Full of Spiders."
Seriously, don't touch it. That's the full title of the book. This book is full of spiders. Seriously, don't touch it.
That's a good title.
The guy who writes those is.
David Wong.
David Wong, he writes for Cracked a lot. Like those top five whatevers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he writes a lot of those.
Yep. All right.
All right, so question number two is, what's your favorite atheist character?
Well, for a real-life person who is a character, Stephen Fry. Hands down, love that man. For a fictional character, Sokka from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
He may not be an atheist. Kind of hard to be when one of your best friends is the spiritual reincarnation of nature and balance and your girlfriend became the moon goddess, but he's agnostic at the very least. Right?
But he's agnostic. All those things happen.
He's agnostic at the very least. He believes in critical thinking and science, what little there is of it in his world, and evidence. That's a really good point. He's in a world full of magic, and he believes...
Powers,
but still, it's magic. Yeah, I mean, they're bending elements.
There's a spirit world.
Bending is magic.
Yeah. There's a spirit world and shit, yeah.
But the fact that he is, like, science...
He's the only one that doesn't have any powers or anything of the protagonists.
Yeah.
They're all benders, and he's just a guy who is trying really hard and doing everything he can, and he's... I love him so much more as a character when he's not being used for comic relief.
Yeah, that's
when he's serious, he's great.
That's a really good answer, Stacey.
Yeah,
that's a good answer.
I like that a lot.
And I gotta say, if a lot of people think, look at a show like that, think it's a kid's show, but I really like Avatar.
The Last Airbender.
Have you watched Korra?
Yeah, Avatar The Last...
I've not been able to watch Korra.
Avatar The Last Airbender is a very, very good show, and I would say Legend of Korra is less for kids even than Avatar, Last Airbender.
The next Avatar is kind of an angry young teenage girl.
But she's...
And she's dealing with very adult problems and adult themes.
Sociopolitical stuff. Like, a lot of sociopolitical stuff.
There's straight-up class warfare happening. It's...
I can't wait for that to start back up.
Our third question is, what is your geekiest hobby?
Not sure if this is a hobby, but I like to at least start projects with little to no instructions. I made a quilt before reading on how to do it. I'm making a loft bed for my boyfriend, and the only instructions we have on it are my own designs and what they told us about brackets at the hardware store. Usually this way works the best for me, as I get a better understanding of sewing, woodworking, etc., even if the results aren't always the prettiest. The only thing that I'm failing at is knitting. I'm trying to make a Doctor Who scarf for my sister, and I can never get past the first row without it falling apart. It's taken me a year to finally cave and start looking for beginner's knitting classes.
The hardest part of knitting is the very first...
Casting on. Yeah. And the very first, when you just have woolly needles for like the first seven or eight rows.
It looks like a tangled mess.
I'm sure your knitting classes at this point might... If you decided to actually take them, that's great. But if you haven't caved all the way and taken one, there's some YouTube videos. If you just Google casting on for knitting and things like that, that make it pretty simple. And then it's maybe not necessary. Maybe it's just a little bit of instruction.
If you're a tactile learner, like someone who learns by doing... Seeing someone do it on YouTube close up is usually a pretty decent way to learn too.
Yeah,
yeah. That is a pretty geeky tenet.
Yeah, it's awesome. I like that. Just diving right in is great. Yeah. I love it.
Good for you, Stacey. I'm question number four. Nuts. I will ask question number four. What is your favorite sandwich, Stacey?
Mine's a breakfast sandwich: scrambled eggs with pepper. A breakfast meat of some kind, typically sausage for me, but pan-fried turkey has also been good. Mm-hmm. Toast the bread in a toaster oven on only one side, then get jalapeno jelly and spread a thin layer on the untoasted side of the bread. Put the egg and meat on the jelly side, slap it together, and enjoy.
That sounds good.
That does sound good. I'm a big fan of
breakfast sandwiches.
I love jalapeno jelly.
Yeah, jalapeno jelly is great.
Pepper jelly is something I grew up with. My mamma used to can her own pepper jelly. Jar her own pepper jelly, and we would eat that with cream cheese on Triscuits for dinner all the time.
Yeah, I'll eat that.
Awesome.
And what's the stupidest thing you've ever heard about your atheism?
I haven't been very vocal about atheism in the past. I don't say or pretend I'm religious, but I have shied away from pointing out that I'm an atheist. So instead, I'll tell you my encounter with a group I've dubbed Mimes for Jesus. In 2011, I was driving to my job, which was in the small town of Hollister. At a four-way intersection, I saw a bunch of people crowding each corner, facing the street and waving signs with crosses on them or just being energetic. They were all dressed in black, wore white gloves, and some had mime paint on. One man with a loudspeaker was shouting. I couldn't understand what he was saying other than the word Jesus, but he altered between Spanish and English. I have no idea who these people were or what they were trying to accomplish. All I know is that I managed to piss them off. My sister had given me the H.P. Lovecraft Historical Society's Christmas CD, which took classic Christmas carols and parried them with Cthulhu lyrics. Although it was the middle of spring, I was listening to it. As I had pulled up to the intersection to turn left, of course the light had just turned red, the parody of Hallelujah came on. In the same way I didn't understand the man with the microphone, they didn't understand the words, just heard the patterns, and they recognized the music that was blasting from my speakers with my windows down. It took me a moment to realize why they were smiling, waving, and giving me the thumbs up. But when I did, the choir belted, "Oh, Cthulhu! Oh, Cthulhu! Oh, great Cthulhu!" They finally realized what was being said and got the sourest looks on their faces. It was hilarious and frightening at the same time. I was never more grateful for a green light.
That would be kind of scary.
Mimes for Jesus.
Mime with a megaphone. Yeah. Fuck that guy.
That's messed up. You know, the thing is, the good news is if they'd been really upset and they'd, like, tried to rush her car, they would have been, like, rushing against the wind and they would have gotten in there. So,
like, how do they proselytize? Like,
I don't know.
Like, this kind of mime crucifixion.
They point at you. They point down at the ground. And then they point at themselves and they point up at the sky. I don't know.
They got to mime the crucifixion.
Yeah, they mime. Oh, you know what? I would watch pantomime stages of the cross.
All right.
Like really, like, exaggerated, like... Like, hold on. Like, Commedia dell'arte, pantomime, stages of the cross.
Slapstick Jesus.
Like Tartuffe, but with, like, crown
when
of
Jesus
thorns.
Falls down, somebody hits him with a slapstick. Yeah, slap, yeah. Slap, slap, slap,
yeah.
Oh.
Oh, he is poor, therefore what he says is foolish, but truly it's wise.
The slapstick of Longinus.
Pietro, why hast thou forsaken me? For thou art poor. Awesome.
Right.
Thanks,
well,
Stacy.
Those are great answers, Stacy. Thanks so much. We have reached the end of our Geeky Boner episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.
If you have answers to our five questions, you can send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. If you just want to talk to one of us, you could send something to Tim, Nick, or Molly at geekswithoutgod.com.
It's true.
Also, I do want to do a quick pitch. Joseph Scrimshaw, last week's guest, mentioned his Kickstarter. That Kickstarter is going for another 2 days, and my band, The Dregs, has been added to that Kickstarter.
Woo!
So I'm super excited about the possibility to be able to write a write something for that. And the
Are
Kickstarter
you super
is going,
excited?
I'm super excited. But the Kickstarter is going slow, so they need your money. So please go out there and support that. Only
yeah.
2 days left.
Your boner can be donating money.
And we're done.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Do you remember that camp we raised money for at the end of last year?
Camp? What camp?
Camp? I thought that was a bar in St. Paul.
We raised money for a bar? I thought we did that after every episode.
Oh, no. Camp Quest of Minnesota. The camp where all the geeky kids without God go every summer.
Oh, yeah. That camp. That sounded pretty sweet.
Totally not Bible camp.
Yeah, well, registration is now in full swing for this summer, and there are two, count them, 2 weeks to choose from.
Cool. When are they again?
Well, the first week is July 14th through 20th, and the second is July 21st through 27th.
And how much did we raise for them?
Enough to send one deserving kid to camp who otherwise couldn't afford to go. $499.
$499? That's one of the best deals around. I spend that much money on beer some weeks.
Tell me about it.
Dude, I'm totally gonna sign up.
Nick, it's for kids. Kids 8 to 17.
Oh, well, that kind of sucks for me, I guess, but maybe some of our listeners have kids they could send.
Yeah, that would be completely awesome. For the kids, at least. Where can they go to register?
Well, their website is cqminnesota.org. Then you click on the register link and follow the directions.
Anything else they should know?
Well, I hear they have more space for week one right now. So if you can sign up for that week, they would really appreciate it. And the camp is only 30 minutes west of the Twin Cities. It's got a lake and everything.
Man, I'm so jealous of those kids.
Tell me about it.
So the website again is cqminnesota.org. We'll put that link on our website too.
Camp Quest of Minnesota. It's beyond belief.
This week's episode brought to you by the National Park Service.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
They should pay me. But they don't have any money, so.